You know, it's interesting that verse incorporates the idea that when we sing, one of the things we do when we sing is not just make melody, but we also are taught things about God, about His Word, about His nature, about His grace, about His love. And yes, as was mentioned earlier and as was read a few moments ago, we're taught about the fruits of the Spirit. And so those beautiful fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so as we sang a few moments ago, just listening to the words, we've been taught so much already, right? Isn't that true? Just in those words, as each song leader led a song, they led us in singing, yes, but with words that had meaning, that had scripture and had thoughts about God behind them. And so I'm very appreciative of those men and for being able to lead us in singing. Again, I've mentioned this before, and I just thought it would be a great opportunity to reinforce what is taught by the Apostle Paul here in Galatians chapter 5, when he does share those beautiful fruits of the Spirit. Before I share this final thought, you know, I got to thinking about the fact that there are a lot of people who feel that they can live above the law. For example, I think one of the most discouraging illustrations of this is, you know, over the last, I guess, year and a half, maybe 2 years really, with the Me Too movement, which, let me say, I'm definitely in support of those who have been affected in some way by sexual assault or violence. Certainly we want to support those people. But in all of that, one of the things that we learned was that there is this discretionary fund, or this fund that is set up by our government to help support individuals who feel that they are above the law and that they can do whatever they want to and sexually harass women, for example, or others. And you know what happens? They use that discretionary money to be hush money, so to speak, and pay off those people just to keep things quiet. And I thought, you know, there's in our political system, and I'm not trying to be political tonight, because it happens in areas of sports, for example. But in our political system, we have people who are supposed to keep the law, supposed to enforce the law, supposed to maintain the law. And as a result, what happens is those people end up thinking that they are above the law, and they in turn abuse the law for their own pleasure. And how sad that is, to live under a governmental system where people are able to do what they want and then pay others. Of course, we're probably getting out of that idea and that stage and mindset now with a lot of the movement that has come forward. But think about it from a sporting, I started to mention names, but I, for the sake of just those individuals, I didn't want to do that. But, you know, just over the last few years, we've had high-profile quarterbacks steal from grocery stores, but because they were, you know, had been told that they were the best thing since peanut butter, it just made it okay, right? From the time that they were knee-high to a grasshopper, you know, they're the best. And so these people grow up with a mentality thinking, you know what, I can live above the law. I can do what I want, and someone will get me out of it, and I'll continue. And in other cases, there are individuals who have made statements, you know, you don't know what it's like to be in my shoes. I heard an individual actually not far from this area, high-profile college quarterback, make a statement just like that. You don't know what it's like to be in my shoes. I got to thinking about that. What is it like to be in his shoes, to live in his mindset above the law, like the laws do not apply, to be told how awesome he is and was and how great he is, and to have people just falling all over themselves to watch him play football and to tell him how great of a football player he is, to say, you don't know what it's like. I would like to take that individual and place him in the shoes of someone who's really had a difficult struggle in life. But you've seen it over and over, right? People who live above the law. I want to tell you, I think what Paul is saying for you and me is we get a chance to live above, right? We can be a cut above. Not in the sense of abusing a law, but in a sense of actually fulfilling the intent of the law. Now, again, you know the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you know the last part of that? Don't look at your Bibles. No, don't look down. We know the fruits of the Spirit. What's the last part? Against such, there is no law. Have you thought about why that Paul said that? I mean, think about it. There's no law. Now, I wouldn't dare ask, how would you like to live in a community or a society where there is no law? Would that be a dangerous thing? That be a dangerous idea? You know, no law. They've made movies about how there's a day or a weekend, I can't remember the name of it, but a day or a weekend where you get to just do whatever you want. I mean, and those movies, man, they scare me to death. I don't watch those movies. But that stuff scares me. But how would you like to live in a society or a community where there's no law? Well, God says, you know, if we actually live in the Christian community, the church, with these fruits of the Spirit, the principles that Paul has laid out for us, we really don't need a law. Because what kind of law do you need to guide a group of people who are full of love and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? What kind of law do you need to govern those people? You really don't need one, do you? So I think what Paul's saying is, listen, let's live a cut above. Let's live above as if there were no law, because there's no law needed to guard a life or guide a life that follows these fruits of the Spirit. As we close tonight, you know, I want you to think about your life and more importantly, think about those fruits. And think about the fact that when the Spirit, there has to be a seed, a spirit, a seed in order to produce a fruit. When that Spirit is dwelling within, are you living a life that produces that kind of fruit? I mean, when you look at those aspects of the or attributes of the Spirit that we call the fruits of the Spirit, when you look at your life, are those evident in your life? And if not, I would ask, why not? Why are we not the kind of people who are full of every one of those individual qualities? Because that's what God wants from us. One of the things that Mike prayed for, and I loved hearing it, was let us live in a way that in this community in which we can impact others and help others to come to know Him, to help them to come to faith. And then the idea was to help us live a life that's glorifying Him. That was kind of the way Mike concluded his prayer. I think in a lot of ways, that's exactly what Paul is saying. Let's live in a way that honors God. This kind of life that really needs no law is a life that is God-honoring. And if